Welcome to Big Jim's Garage, B-Pod Studios Network. There's our house band, The Daves, Old People in Cars. I'm speaking for me, not Ralph. I don't want to put you in that category, Ralph. Ralph Gill, the global head of design for FCA on the phone. How you doing, sir? How are you?
Very good, very good.
So what the hell took you so long with the Grand Wagoneer? See, I got right to it. You like that? Is that good?
Wow. You know, mess around. You know what? Honestly, the moons had to align. A lot of different things. Plants, you know, the right kind of plant to build it, the right powertrain, right frames, all that stuff. So we finally feel we got the recipe.
This is a silly question, Ralph, but it is beautiful, yeah. By the way. My compliments. It's do you build something like that from the top down or from the bottom up, or am I being pedestrian even asking that question?
I don't know exactly what you mean, but you mean like in terms of orders like, from the
yeah, like you build you build the frame, you build from the chassis up, or do you build the design like the body? The way you've done this with all this glass, do you build from this is the way I want it to look, and then you go down to the wheels?
It's a combination. We know that what we call hard points in the industry. We know what the wheelbase is going to be, the frame size, and then we kind of try different toppers. You know, in this case, it is a body on frame, so you can do a lot of different things on the top. But the competitors have been there for a while. We're last of the party in this large SUV place. So we kind of looked at what our competitors are doing, and came out with a format that we think is unique. We have a lot of glass. That's actually what it's going to be about. You have this crazy cool panoramic feeling when you're driving it, so it's gonna be nice.
So when you step back and look at the Grand Wagoneer, how much did you look at the original? Obviously you looked at the original one. I'm not being silly, but is it something you referred back to, or do you try to put that out of your mind and design something all new?
Well, honestly, Jim, it's impossible to put out of our mind. I don't have a friend that doesn't know the original or have a story about it, or you know, remember it in a fond way. And obviously,
right.
it's been in movies. It's been all over the place. So we actually brought an older one right into the studio and stood it and stared at it and kind of saw what the emotional vibes were, because a lot of my young designers don't know it as well as someone like myself. But everyone respected how, I guess, timeless it is in terms of the silhouette today is still being used by a lot of people. But at the same time, we're like, man, that wood grain, you know, do we do it or not? You know, and it was so hard to do it convincingly in modern day technology.
So you don't want to stick contact paper on the side of your new Grand Wagoneer?
I'm struggling, but honestly, the world out there has already photoshopped it and get a lot of requests for it. We left room, let's put it that way. We left the body side really clean and simple, because we knew, you know, either the aftermarket or maybe ourselves will one day want to give it a shot. You know?
Something that I've always, in your designs, Ralph, going back to the 300 as well, you said emotional. When I look at the 300, and this is a compliment. This is by no means, that's the car that wouldn't die. We'd always for years we'd hear like last year the 300, and then the sales, because it was just fun to drive. My favorite SRT was the 300. I had one of those in just for a week, and it was an absolute blast. And people are like, what is that? So when you talk about that emotional thing, that's something you've been designing from the beginning. Explain the emotional part of the Grand Wagoneer to me. What is it that's going to evoke? Is it memories, or is it something more when I look at it as a consumer?
Wow, that's a good question. There's a few things. I think the front end is important, you know, that presence that it has. You know, it's one of the few SUVs out there that's going to have a forward-leaning front grille like the original had. That part will be distinctive when you see it on the freeways, hopefully, one day. But I think the emotional part for me, if you look at a 300, the design is actually very simple. It has good basic bones, you know. A lot of people can see themselves in the car, and that's the idea of the Wagoneer. Whether you're you want it a sled, you know, you want to kind of trick it out, you can do that, or you can have it be the country club car or the exploration machine. So we think that it's kind of an open canvas, so many, many consumers can see themselves. And when we design cars, we try to leave a little room for interpretation, not overstyle it, you know, keep it simple and clean so it ages very well. And hopefully responds to a lot of people, kind of like Levi's look good on a lot of different people, right?
That's a great analogy, though. And I honestly thought that on This Is Us, they did a wonderful job of capturing the passion of the Grand Wagoneer. Jack didn't go there to buy one, but once his family saw it and he saw it, he could picture himself in it. He had to have it.
Yeah, and that's what we're hoping, especially when people open the door. When they see the inside, you know, the concept has a lot of cool tricks that will hopefully make it to production. But that's the idea, you know, a lot of flexibility. And you know us, we're just getting started. The chapter of Wagoneer is just starting. We're going to have a lot of fun with this nameplate and all the different things that we could do with this
idea. Do things like 3D printing now and the ability to, I would assume, turn things around quicker when you decide to make a change, something to a prototype or whatever, is sometimes that a bad thing? Like you can almost rub the fur off a teddy bear?
I have never heard that expression before in my life, but we actually do use those technologies. In fact, we were able to try out so many different ideas on the interiors. All the little components you see in there were actually 3D printed before we, you know, decide on what the final one would look like. The interiors today are so complex. I mean, they require precision. And honestly, we didn't really look at, no offense to my competitors, but we actually looked at the most expensive European, you know, like the Rolls Royces and the Bentleys and stuff like that. We looked at that for inspiration on the interior, right? So you'll see those kind of details of the handling of the wood grain and the leathers and the stitching. All that came from a totally different place. So we're pretty excited to combine that with the American premium. You know, I love handcrafted American goods, and there's something about that, you know, special leather handbags and book bags and stuff like that. So
it's cool.
Try to get that feel combined in there. So.
Did you use the inspiration, the design inspiration of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile at all in the Grand Wagoneer? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh my God! You mean the windows or the
length? Well, no, Brooke Stevens, the guy, the Grand Wagoneer guy, designed the remodel of the Wienermobile. So I was hoping you would infuse a little Wienermobile into the Grand Wagoneer. Is that a stretch?
That is the one part they do share is Americana. You know, there may not be anything more American than the Wienermobile.
Well, every time I talk with you, I always learn something, and you know your perspective. But also, I didn't know who Brooke Stevens was, and the more I started reading about it, you go down a rabbit hole. What an amazing designer this guy was!
Yeah, I need to do my homework. I guess I missed that one in design history class.
There wasn't a Wienermobile class that didn't show up in abstract on Netflix? Come on.
Yeah. I know the car very well, you know, and I love when I see. Once in a while you catch them on the road. They look so cool.
But the Grand Wagoneer, though, talking about Brooks redesign, that would have been, what, 63 till what, 90? I mean, there's nothing, nothing really changed. I mean, think about that. That's almost three decades, a car that was so powerful and so ingrained in our DNA that people didn't want to change it. Don't touch it. Just leave it alone. I mean, that's a hell of a compliment, and that's a high bar that's set for you.
Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking. And the Wrangler is in that same vein, except the Wrangler has not really ever stopped, right? So the Wagoneer, it's exactly the point. And there's been a lot of great aftermarket companies keeping those 91s and even the older ones going, and people seek them out. People modernize and put modern-day powertrains in them and keep them rolling. But it comes with a lot of weight. You're right. You know, the name Wagoneer just promises all this Americana adventure, and it holds a place. We look at it as a flagship for the Jeep brand and even for the company. There's a lot of tech in this car that we haven't debuted anywhere yet. So it's going to be neat to see how it – and that's what it was back then. You know, the Wagoneer was the ultimate luxury machine for years. I mean, it had the highest income per capita – you know, people that bought it were the wealthiest people in the country. So,
and it used to be like halo cars, Ralph, were always, you know, halo cars were always the high performance cars, but something like this for you guys, because of the technology and because of the high end materials and stuff, that I almost label it a halo car in that way. Is that fair?
No, absolutely. It really is. It's a different type of halo car, but it's, you know, people that buy these kind of things, they have a certain place in life. And honestly, we've looked at it. It doesn't really get affected by the economy. These are people that are living in a very unique stratosphere. But at the same time, it'll be accessible. It won't just be the, you know, that expensive. We're going to make versions of it that a lot of families can enjoy.
Well, I was reading, though. I mean, even back in the day, I used in the day there, you know, that the Grand Wagoneer was always for people that aspired to it, and that this was that next big step. It was a status thing for a lot of people to have one.
Exactly, and they last a long time. Most of them are still on the road today. They're really robust vehicles, you know, so they get handed down and people, you know, share them for years.
So are you gonna get Milo to come in and do the presentation for this, the guy from This Is Us?
You know what? I can't wait to see how the Jeep team enjoys this vehicle, because everyone is excited about this. You know, plus it's going to, you know, create some jobs. We have some neat stuff going on at the Warren facility, building up a new brand new plant, and all kinds of exciting stuff happening for the economy, local economy. So it's going to be great.
Your head's on a swivel, isn't it? 24/7, you're just looking. You seem like I mean this in a good way. You seem like the kind of guy. You're always absorbing what's around you and trying to see how you can apply it to what you do as the global head of design.
Yeah, you know, it's true. And as designers, we're kind of anthropologists in a way. We study culture, try to anticipate. You know, we work 4 to 5 years ahead of the market. So we're always kind of paying attention to seeing if there's a trend coming, or can we even create a trend? Can we out of the The blue sky just creates something that people will follow and enjoy. So, yeah, I never heard it put that way, but yeah, I'm a bit hyper that way, always kind of looking out and, you know, being inspired by other friends in the industry and other complementary industries too.
Do you understand the scope of Abstract the Art of Design? By the way, we're talking with Ralph Scheel, the global head of design at FCA. Abstract the Art of Design is on Netflix. The influence that you have on people from that, did you understand getting into it, what it was going to be? Because Ralph, I mean, that's impacted a lot of people. You've inspired a lot of people with that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really realize how big it was going to be. It's actually been all over the world. I've had friends from Europe and China see it in Australia. And it's really, the whole reason I agreed to do it is just to hope to inspire anybody who wants to get in any kind of design field, not necessarily automotive, but just chase your dreams, you know. And there's this creative part of creating things that starts with art, you know, and that's why what I think they did a nice job capturing that, you know. And then it's been, I think, 2.5 years now, and it's still getting unique views. So hats off to Netflix and Scott Dadich for coming up with the idea, and Chaivar Selesky. I can't say her last name very well, but she's an amazing producer. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Do you get a lot of, like you said, from around the world, do you get kids and stuff sending you stuff that want to talk to you about that they want to get into design because of seeing you can do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly what you said. And what's happened, which I didn't expect, teachers are sharing it in art class, you know, even general class. People are showing it to their students, and they're having watch parties. And I'm still having cousins I've lost touch with go, I just saw the Netflix episode. You know, so it's really cool to see that, you know, at least something, a bit of a marker, a part of my life has been at least marked for future, you know, reference. So. But, you know, I hats off to anyone in this industry. You know, there's a lot about Detroit. People don't realize how creative it is here, how much. We call it a creative city because there's so much art and industrial design that happens in Detroit that people just don't realize across the world. So it's good that that series helped that.
And yours is an amazing story. It's, you know, obviously not from Detroit, but you have that mindset. Something about Detroiters that when we put our mind on something, we're going to do it, good or bad, right? Like the guy that climbed on the top of the Ambassador Bridge. We're going to go up there and take a picture because, damn it, I want to. And that sort of motivation through there, I would encourage anyone to watch this because if you're, whatever your profession is, my dad told me a long time ago, Ralph, whatever you do for a living, you better enjoy it because you're going to spend a lot of time doing it.
That's true. That's why my job is a hobby. I pinch myself every morning driving into work, especially now. We're starting to get back to work, so it's great.
So have you talked to Hennessy about the Hellcat Grand Wagoneer yet?
I know people know it'll fit. You know, a lot of different powertrains will fit in that engine bay. So, we'll, you know, hey, bless them.
It's so much fun right now for you guys, man, and everything that's going on there. So what's the next car that we're going to hear from? Let's see. I just try to get you to blurt that out. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of news for Jeep coming yet. So let's put it that way. The Jeep brand is our most global brand. It's doing really, really well. You know, Grand Cherokee is still number one in the segment. So it's time to do something with that. So stay tuned.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. It's not an FCA brand. I may get yelled at by Diana, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What did you think of the Proto Z that Nissan unveiled yesterday?
I just saw it, the little yellow job. It's neat. It's cleaner. It's a bit longer than I thought it would be. You know,
right.
It's kind of a different proportion. But you know what? They always change it up. I'll give them a lot of credit. Every Z is very different from the one before. They don't try to kind of evolve it. They try to put up on its head. So we'll see. I tend to wait till I see a car in real life before I make a judgment on it. But it's daring. I'll give them that. You know, it's clean. It's actually
it's nice. Design. Yeah. And they put a cheese grater on the front of it. That's a good look. Anyway, that's just me being a grumpy old guy there. Sorry about that. Congratulations on everything. By the way, I did have a chance to spend a week driving. I wanted to mention this. The wide body. I haven't had it. It's the first time I've driven one. And I apologize for not getting into one sooner. What a change. And it's people are like, it's not that different. Yeah, it is. That car, it feels so planted. Whatever you guys did just with that touch. And everyone's like, it's not a big deal. It is a huge deal. And it was even more fun to drive, which I didn't think was possible. Compliments to everybody there.
Yeah, it's a different car. It's a brand new car with that setup. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. You know, hats off to the team. There's a great bunch of engineers that work at FCA, as you know, that they do it because they love it. So it's great.
Okay, getting back to the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer. Wagoneer, we can expect next year. Is that fair? What, Q3? When are we looking at?
Yeah, we're talking about sometime in Q2 next year.
So. Okay, and then Grand Wagoneer 2022, but is that all up in the air? Is that all floating right now, or are you locked into trying to get it done in 2022?
I can't talk about that, but we are cooking. We're having a lot. We're very busy.
Come on, Ralph, tell me. Nobody's listening. Come on, man. Just me and you.
What I would say to your your listeners, you're going to see a lot of these prototypes running around the city. I love it. You know, that's one of the things I like about Detroit. You see those cars with the swirlies and covers all over them. So,
all right. I got a question because I've admitted this on the air a couple times, Ralph. I have followed a mule and driven way, and I live in Waterford. I've driven up 75. I've driven all the way to Grand Blanc following a car trying to figure out what it is. As the global head of design, do you catch yourself doing that every once in a while?
All of the time. But you're that creepy guy that does that.
Not a creepy guy. I'm a car guy, Ralph. Come on.
Guys hanging out the window with cell phones. Oh, yeah. I notice it. Although, you know, if I see a Ford or a GM or even Toyota does some testing here, too, I see those and I follow them and try to figure out what it is. Absolutely kidding. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Here at the radio station, they test key fobs. So sometimes I'll run outside and I'll sit press against the fence like a 6-year-old trying to get Barry Bonds' autograph or something. Like, can I take pictures of your car? And they're like, boom, they're gone. So, yeah. All right. Well, now that you labeled me a stalker, thanks, Ralph.
I, too, are one. So.
All right. Well, you keep doing what you're doing, man. And there's so many good things going on here. And so now with FCA, have you done any F1 stuff? Or because of COVID, you didn't get a chance to get over there and see some of the races?
No, I did not. My guys at Alfa Romeo are still participating and actually doing well. They've been finishing mid-pack and getting better and better. So, yeah, I pay attention to it. I love F1, always have.
I want you to get Kimi Raikkonen to do your voicemail. Hello, this is Kimi Raikkonen. If it's a voicemail or off, leave a message. I don't care.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Have you met him?
Yes, I have. Oh. He's actually a jokester, man. I met him at Geneva. We chatted for a little bit. He's kind of one way a little bit for the camera, but in person, he's a little more chill.
When he was talking to his race engineers during the race, and they're like, you get a 5-second penalty. He's like, for what? What?
You saw that last
week. What did I do? What did I do? What did tell me? For what? What did I do? He's cool, man.
I didn't know you were an F1 fan.
I am a huge F1 fan. I'm the nerd that gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. I watch them all, dude. I watch them all and talk about them and... Yeah,
did you believe the carnage last weekend? Holy moly.
Oh, the Mugello parking lot? Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Here's an F1 question for you then as a designer. Can you come back from all this aero that they've got, this downforce they've created in these cars? You can't regulate it out of the sport as a designer. You're going to figure out a way to bring it back, can you? I mean, unless you're going to put them in a square and have them drive that. How do you do that?
I think the aero started trying to slow the cars down. You know, they were trying to slow them down, make them wider, and they keep going faster and faster regardless. So, you know, it's an amazing every time I see an F1 car in person, I just study all those little flicks and aero tricks. It's amazing. I mean, everything. Then they have a wreck and they lose half the bodywork and they're still going fast. So some of it, you wonder.
Right. Right. Well, all they have to do is what are they going to do? Like tell Mercedes you can't work on your car for a year and that doesn't work because then the Mercedes car from last year is in with Racing Point is up front.
Yeah, but it's true science. It's just like, you know, fighter jets, F1s, cars are the epitome of technology.
Have you had time with Lewis Hamilton?
No, I hope to meet him one day. He's an amazing, very inspirational young man, you know, very socially aware and all that stuff. So it's pretty neat to see him doing so well. And people need to cut him a break because a lot of people say, well, he's in the best car, but come on, what he does in the rain, he does consistently tells me he's one hell of a driver.
You mean when he was playing with Bottas just for a little bit, like let him, it's like dad playing basketball. Like, no, you got me. You're up 4-3. You're going to beat me this time. Bye. Yeah, you. Not everyone can do what that man does in a car, and his appreciation for the sport.
Yeah.
One of the greatest videos, and I'm totally going down a rabbit hole, and I'll stop after this. When they put him in the McLaren that Senna drove, when the guys at Top Gear arranged that, have you ever seen that video?
Yes, he was really emotional.
That's goosebumps to me. That is Ayrton Senna is my favorite athlete of all time. I have Senna hats in my man cave. I watch Senna repeatedly. And to see that is amazing.
Probably my favorite documentary was the Senna documentary.
You saw Netflix, since we mentioned Netflix, they are doing a series about him now, another one.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we get the Senna version of a Grand Wagoneer. See, I brought it all back around, Ralph. Brought it all back around.
You are a radio man.
with wood paneling and a scoop on the front of it. It'll look great.
Yeah.
Okay. Ralph, you're the man, the head of global head of design for FCA. It's always fun talking to you. I learned something new, and you learned two sayings that are completely irrelevant that I gave to you this time. So you can take that with you.
I know who did Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Hey, I'm the only guy who's going to talk about the Grand Wagoneer who's going to bring up the Wienermobile and taking the fur off a teddy bear, okay?
All right.
So suck it, Matt Farah, and all you smoking tire guys. Okay. Ralph, be well. All the best to you and your wife and your lovely family, man. And let her beat you on the track every once in a while, because it looks like she's a better driver than you are right now.
Yeah, she's amazing. Man, all right, well, you're so cool. Hats off to everyone. And if there's any FCA employees listening, thanks to you guys. Thank you.
Seriously, though, if you want to see some more, everybody, it's such a crazy time, and you guys are so disjointed. Maybe you don't get to talk to the people. What would you say to the men and women behind this project?
Thank you. I mean, no one, they've found the most creative ways to keep developing this vehicle in the middle of all this time. I mean, taking cars home at night, doing stuff, a real special handoff of cars, sanitizing cars for each other. I mean, just an amazing amount of teamwork. And we haven't missed a beat. You know, the program has stayed on time regardless of all these delays and everything. So
you're the master.
Really cool.
We got some great men and women that work here in the Motor City. We'll talk soon, Ralph. Be well.
Take care. All
right. There he goes. Thanks, Ralph Gill, the global head of design at FCA. What a great guy. Seriously, if you haven't watched Abstract, The Art of Design on Netflix, this is episode 5. It's really cool. It's a really cool thing. My son and I didn't even know Ralph was on there. We were watching it because the guy who designed Air Jordans was one of them. And then all of a sudden, Ralph comes on there. And yeah, great guy. The Grand Wagoneer, by the way, we've got, if you haven't seen the photos of it, it's beautiful. A lot of glass. It's like Ralph mentioned there. So, all right. Hey, thank you. Thank you for being part of this with us. Big Jim's Garage here. I'm working on some new things here. I drove a C8 Corvette. And I'm 6'5", and I weigh well over 300 pounds. I'm a big guy. And I started realizing the only way I could drive a C8 Corvette is if I popped the roof off so I could stick my head out, much like a giraffe. So we're working on a video series we're going to call Big Guys Buy Cars. For big guys over 6'4", there's a lot of us. So that's kind of the perspective we're going to work on. You can always hit me up on Twitter at WCSXJim. Of course, as Ralph mentioned, you know, this podcast based here in the Motor City. We'll keep you in the loop on that. A lot of great stuff going on too, man. So much the design stuff. Think about it. You got the Bronco back. You got the Grand Wagoneer back. You got Z's back coming back. I mean, I don't know what's next. Ooh, the Gremlin. Someone should do a version of the Gremlin. I know, went too far. Anyway, thanks everybody at B-Pod Studios for making this possible. Make sure you subscribe as well. Follow along. Be well. Have a great day. You earned it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.